I apologize. they would have been in as well. We'll go back to the talks. You'll start along. That they couldn't do. What happened was, we didn't have a right. That little speech I made to you, I made that very tough private message. And, well, should I say tough for? And consequently, within a week, we got the message in the 28th or something. So. But nevertheless, the point is, it's very difficult, as I told John McCullen, it's very, very difficult for an individual who's trying to be fair as well as friend. But make fair to whoever sits in this office. First, it's difficult. You should never be for him all the time because he isn't right all the time. He's wrong all the time either. But the second point is, there are some times that you cannot explain what you're doing at that time. You have to go back and explain it later.
Yeah.
And that's the tough one. And the thing I want you to know is that I am keenly aware of the fact that that the star in this town where your whole constituency would tilt you toward an extreme position. Sure, I mean, after all, I know the kind of people who live in this city and who buy it and all the rest of it. You know, which way you want to turn. The fact that you've taken such a responsible position through the years, it's a goddamn gutsy thing to do. And I appreciate it.
Well, I certainly,
and I know that you have, and I know, Sue, that you have great pressures. I'm not going to see, I don't know the people, but I know how newsrooms are, and I don't know how you do your editorial board and the rest. People who just honestly feel what's the matter with the star. Here's the post, you know, make a lot of time and kick the administration around all the time. Why don't we do it at least half the time?
Well, I must admit,
you guys, you said you were a lonely voice. I knew exactly what you meant.
Well, but also, I'm not, there are such pressures, but what I said to you in the letter was not in response to somebody else.
Well,
I didn't even discuss it with other people.
Yeah.
But
it's what you yourself felt.
It really is.
I know.
And have not felt with any particular conviction that I was right, but felt with a feeling that something was wrong in the way you were coming across. The thing that I would like to, I don't want to talk too much. I don't know who, I've already said an awful lot in that letter, but let me just pursue one thing here. I it would be completely pointless for me to try to discuss with you, let alone argue with you, the question of the individual programs and what you should do about the budget and this and that. But you spoke of the difficulty of explaining things. And what I'm trying to tell you is that I don't think you're explaining what your real attitude is on this thing enough to get it across to a lot of people who are extremely important to you, of whom I'm typical. I'm very much conscious of the fact that you would have done some along this line. I thought that in your statement on February 24th, that last Sunday on the cities and this kind of thing, that you, I thought I could detect some response to the kind of concern that I've been expressing. But nevertheless, Mr. President, what comes across to me is that you're saying, in effect, now look, we're really doing all right. These cities are not in such bad shape. We're doing twice as much as anybody else has done before. And in effect, you ought to be rather happy about what's happening. And all this may be true, sir. And furthermore, this is all we can do because we have all these budgetary issues and so on.
Yeah.
And that may be completely correct. But I just feel that there's something missing from your point of view, from the country's point of view, by way of a discussion of this, of the background, of the attitude that you carry to this, which conveys some sympathy, some real appreciation of the problems of the people in these cities. I'm not sure how long this current thing is going to stay quiet and happy the way it is.
Where do you
think it is? seems to me, sir, that my question is that every president who has been a really great president has appealed somehow to the sort of higher instincts of this electorate. He's talked to them about what they want to be doing more than what they're doing. He's tried to make them feel that's right. Yeah. And that you, at the moment, are in danger of talking more about how really, we're doing okay. Mr. President, I'm afraid I'm not coming across very well, but I have a feeling that there is a mood in this country, particularly on the part of many of your most ardent supporters, the sort of middle America type, the hard hat, the little man who's in there doing his job, that he feels he's been bugged long enough by the government. He feels that he has to pay the taxes. He feels that he wished he could just be let alone by all this, and somehow he's been sort of had by all these programs that we've had in the past. And I'm afraid that he may feel that you not only agree with him, but that you're sort of encouraging him in that kind of view. And I'm afraid that that's true, given that attitude on the part of this middle class group and versus what may be a growing discontent among the really poor, the black, the ghetto type people, that you may get into something that is very ugly and very unpleasant there. And I just am afraid that some of the rhetoric that has been employed in the post-election period has been hurrying to a sort of, perhaps you don't sense this mood, perhaps I'm wrong and too scared, shadows under the bed or something, but I feel that there is an incipient mood of sort of ahead of these problems. We've heard too much about how these people had it tough. And when the President of the United States appears, even for a moment, to sort of cater to that or to go along with that point of view, you can unleash some very ugly things here. And I wish to God that
the point of view you just made very effectively in your letter to you.
Well, I apologize for going back to Kim.
No. It's somewhat sometimes difficult to get across them because of basically the question of what is reported. We know what people who read headlines, they read first paragraphs, and they listen to perhaps 2 minutes and so on. And then
you're absolutely right.
All that is that they usually get the hard news of the kind. Now, for example, I'm going to have one on crime on Saturday. It would be for the Sunday papers, which you get plenty of time on. It's the last of the call state we have. John, except by that, I want that. I want you on veterans. Now, I want veterans all, but I want particularly you to get away from this crap to the effect that what we do for the dependents of the third cousins of World War II veterans has anything to do with what we're doing with Vietnam veterans. You know, because this veterans lobby is at me. Executed, and then for us to do here to give life we have, for example, hijackers, where death results, that's what I'm talking about, hijackers where death results, or kidnapping where death results, or this sort of very precise area that is not the court has not ruled that out. The court's really ruled out capital punishment, as you know, because they said it was too uncertain. But my guess is that while there's a lot of other positive stuff in there, crime law, prison reform, the rest of that will even make a lot of day. What would it be if we carried, out of this big rig, we can get down past the folder on the back page. But Mr. President, you know how these things do work. Your description is accurate. You're quite right that in that message that you're speaking of there, and in the ones that in the image that you have presented since the election, there is a rather not only hard line, sort of hard-nosed position, but a position that sounds, if you'll forgive me, a little bit, you've read this, everybody has said it, sort of vindictive, sort of, you want a tremendous victory here, and are now, to hell with these people that used to criticize that we're so much the critic. If you agree at all with the kind of feeling that I was trying to express in that matter, it seems to me that you and John Ehrlichman and your advisors like Ron Ziegler here, who also know about this kind of thing, have got to figure out some way of dramatizing something more than the hard line, I think. I mean, this is all I've rather than try to tell you. I think, sir, that there is a tremendous job for the president to do in this situation, having to do with some kind of reconciliation, some easing of the mood in this inside the country, as well as, I mean, now you've got a better thing going abroad, you're getting peace abroad, but the mood in this country now is sort of one of, I think, a good deal of tension and anger. And I think who can dispel it?
I mean, how do you gauge it over the 4 years? You see it as having been very bad to begin with, but in 69, I mean, it was rotten.
Yes, of course, you see it got steadily better.
Right. Now, where do you see it? It's off again.
What I detect is, it's always rough in the campaign. It was pretty rough in the campaign and around the November, because basically not because of what we did, that's understandable. Campaigns always divide for a while, and afterwards you have to see if we can bring them together. That's what it always is.
But sir, I know you've addressed yourself to this before. You said, well, look, you know, it takes two to tango, and these other fellows, they were the critics, and they're still the critics, and I'm not. But, well, I this is extremely presumptuous of me, but I suggest to you that you are the man who sets the spirit, the tone of the whole thing that happens here. And if you can find a way, and I'm not talking about amnesty and that kind of thing, I'm not talking about the sort of mood of the people in this country that are important, not the ones that have written you off long ago, the ones that are wondering and watching this like me, that some way you should try to find a way of holding out your hand or saying something that epitomizes and expresses your concern, your caring about some of these problems, other than just demonstrating that we're doing all right, you're doing all right, and so on. If you can convey just even a sense of worry about what was happening.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I
don't agree with you that we've got pain as far as the city's
concerned.
I think it's going to be a terrible show in another few years if something doesn't happen to get us moving toward a solution of some of these big problems, like the housing problem, like the education.
Well, let me touch on that. So we're talking about housing in the other room. We've got a hell of a record on housing.
wasn't coming out of our ears.
I know about
it. Oh, yeah, and the others besides. But the housing starts have been astronomical. Now, we did that. That didn't just happen. It wasn't just the result of an economy. We pumped the hell out of the housing money market. We poured money in. We not only Fannie Mae, but we created Ginnie Mae as a secondary market. We had a strategy and it worked. And we got 2 million new units a year for 4 years on a sustained basis. Now, that's the housing story. The housing perception is the Herb Lock cartoon of the old lady being kicked out of the snow.
Well, see, John, it doesn't Herb Lock's cartoon, though, John. I guess it's not related to housing.
Yeah, but well, it is.
It's related to what he believes should be the approach to housing, which is not ours.
Well, we declared
the way to that the way to handle a housing problem is to continue to build the kind of housing that has failed. I mean, all you've done, if you've ever gone through it, I mean, St. Louis, Washington, D.C., is Miami, and the what we would call a totally subsidized housing project. Where only the word to that is simply an utter figure. And it ends the slump in 5 years, and so we have to find different approaches to it.
Sir, but anyway, this is why I said I'm not here to attack your individual programs, but I do what the president just said, what you say, is exactly the point that I'm trying to address myself to, which is that here your response when somebody says something about housing is you say, hell, we're doing great by the housing thing.
Well, perhaps you are.
That's why
I'm concerned about whether or not I'm great.
But that's right. And what comes through then? What comes through the people's
satisfaction
is a feeling of, my gosh, what do you people want us to do for you? We're providing a lot of housing, we're doing a lot of things. And yet you know that there are people in this country who have terrible problems in regard to housing, that the whole concept of the ghetto is still something we haven't gotten around. I mean, that kind of downtown situation is something that's got to be late. Now, all I'm saying is, instead of trying to convince people with everything is peachy, I think if the president ought to find a way of conveying to these people that this is something that is goddamn important to him, and that if he was able to do that on that issue or on any other issue that you do feel that is important in that area, then it would change something very important in the public's apprehension of what this administration is about. Let me just,
we're talking about Dave Broder.
I have a feeling that Dave Broder approaching this subject might write a column that said, there's some people who wonder whether the president's really sensitive.
Broder's a civil post.
Yes, he is. And he used to be with us.
Oh, I know. But we were damn good to point out.
Yeah.
We're talking about the quality of his work. And he'd say something like this, so that people might wonder whether the president's really concerned about housing.
But if you get back in the record, you will see that he cares a great deal about housing, because here are the extraordinary things that he's done.
Here.
get the stories.
That's not at all, because it's not hard news.
Yeah.
People that have disadvantage and are entitled to look for we're working on these problems, they don't need to be concerned. The fact that they did look at their outside looking in, it works that effect.
That ain't get the stories.
That's not at all, because it's not hard news.
Now the fight on housing, if I'm first concerned about it, if I have a program. You see, the press, basically, and I understand as a reporter, you'll sit there, if you might get up and express what are my feelings.
Yeah.
Now, the fight on housing, if I'm first concerned about it, you know, if there's one thing that would do it, would be if I have a program. You see, the press, basically, and I understand as a reporter, you'll sit there, if you might get up and express what are my feelings. That's true.
Well, I'm a press. If I were a press, I'd do the same thing. I took journalism, and you're taught what's the lead, and you don't say that the lead is, oh, but sometimes somebody writes something, so rather than food, this, that, mostly that, just crap. But mostly the lead is going to get Tom Carroll out there with his minute, Carroll out there with his minute and a half, his bonus on TV, his hard news. It isn't, well, the president was very kind today, but he hasn't been very angry today.
But, Mr. President, there are ways of cutting through this thing, and I think that they can be found.
We need a way.
And, I this has been a most pleasant conversation.
His bonus on TV is hard news.
It isn't, well, the president was very kind today,
but he hasn't been very angry today.
But, Mr. President, there are ways of cutting through this thing, and I think that they can be found.
We need a way.
And I this has been a most pleasant, but I would like to just say one other thing on this,
sure,
because I feel perhaps I haven't made one thing clear. I'm not quite just suggesting that it would be good if you found some gimmick in order to express compassion.
To get angry.
I am reporting to you, Meyer.
No, that's my word.
I mean, in a way, it's
not what I said.
No, I understand.
I mean,
conversation, but I would like to just say one other thing on this, because I feel perhaps I haven't made one thing clear. I'm not quite just suggesting that it would be good if you found some gimmick in order to express compassion.
To get angry.
I am reporting to you, Meyer.
No, that's my word.
I mean, in a way, it's not what I said.
No, I understand.
I mean,
people on the staff here would always, they want me to go out to a black church or something like that. You'd be surprised. I wouldn't do it. Because basically, it's a gimmick.
You regard it as a gimmick. Okay. But I am supporting you. Speaking of what you're styling, I'm reporting to you.
Oh, it's coming from us.
With all, yes, with compassion and with affection. The fact that I think that you are coming across these days.
You know, I have people on the staff here that always, they want me to go out to a black church or something like that. You'd be surprised. I wouldn't do it. Because basically, it's a gimmick.
You regard it as a gimmick. Okay. But I am supporting you. Speaking of what you're styling, I'm reporting to you.
Oh, it's coming from us.
With all, yes, with compassion and with affection. The fact that I think that you are coming across not just as somebody who is not doing these things, but who is in a pretty tough, mean mood with regard to the kind of criticism that I'm giving you here, or that you've been getting in perhaps rougher form from other people. Now, I mean, it seems to me you won this incredible victory these days, not just as somebody who is not doing these things, but who is in a pretty tough, mean mood with regard to the kind of criticism that I'm giving you here, or that you've been getting in perhaps rougher form from other people. Now, I mean, it seems to me you won this incredible, you absolutely destroyed your enemies, your people that have been criticizing you. You've been fully justified for everything that you've done. I mean, you've done it now. Now, is not this the time then to not to say, to sort of get something back of these people, but literally, you absolutely destroyed your enemies, your people that have been criticizing you. You've been fully justified for everything that you've done. I mean, you've done it now. Now, is not this the time then to not to say, to sort of get something back of these, but to confound them further by holding out the olive branch and by as Uncle Sam.
I mean, as
Santa Claus or something like that.
That you're failing, that you are coming across a little bit like people, but to confound them further by holding out the olive branch and by doing the kind of thing that they think you're not likely to do. I am my point, being very crudely and very perhaps rudely made, is that the problem to me is not that you're failing to come across as Uncle Sam.
I mean, as Santa Claus or something like that.
That you're failing, that you are coming across a little bit of a Scrooge,
right?
And there's no reason for you to come across as Scrooge. You're in a position where you can afford. That's the one thing you can't afford right now. If you're looking to the future, your position in history, and your position in the country, and the position of the country. And I just, I've talked to you long. Those people understand that it isn't all like I said, well,
just for themselves, but for everybody, you will in turn something very big around. And if you don't, you may have something very serious to deal with in the end.
That's what I was trying.
I appreciate that. And not just for themselves, but for everybody, you will in turn something very big around. And if you don't, you may have something very serious to deal with in the end.
That's what I was trying.
I appreciate that.
I think one advantage, just to take, I think one advantage, well, I can easily do this, take three breaths, I understand, just to take, well, I can easily do this, take three predecessors, two predecessors. It's one advantage that Roosevelt had, not his first two predecessors. It's one advantage that Roosevelt had, not his first term until after the first 2 years. And one advantage, of course, was Kennedy had in spades, which searching for something.
He didn't. And so what is that? He said, well, basically, it's because of what you believe. He said, you got to realize it's because of what you believe. He said, well, I said, on the war, on defense, you got to realize.
Well, and I
don't want to leave the impression of your point.
Well, and Cities has to go is not that there aren't some good things out of both, but 80% of the money in both of those programs went and they had to go. The reason that Model Cities has to go is not that there aren't some good things out of both, but 80% of the money in both of those programs are bureaucrats. 20% went to the poor folks. Now that's not good enough. It ought to be 80% to the poor folks and 20% to the others, and that's why we went to the bureaucrats. 20% went to the poor folks. Now that's not good enough. It ought to be 80% to the poor folks and 20% to the others, and that's say, out of them, send it out to the cities and send it out to the states and let them directly help these people.
Well,
in other words, the people we're talking about would the poor, why we say, out of them, send it out to the cities and send the people get it.
That committee action agencies that you know are elected by anybody. They're not responsive. They're not accountable
to the states and let them directly help these people.
Well, in other words, the people we're talking about would the poor people get it.
That committee action agency.
And we just have tried to make the damn things work for 4 years and we can't make these that you know are elected by anybody. They're not responsive. They're poor. We can't make them pay out to the people.
Well, anyway, folks, we're not going
to do it. We're not accountable. And we just have tried to make the damn things work for 4 years, and we can't make them work. We can't make them pay out to the people.
Well, anyway, folks, we're
not
going to
improve it. Now, my frustration here is when I get with a group of citizens who come from all over the country, and they tell me that if we improve it. Now, my frustration here is when I get don't know things that are fact. That we ladle out here by the barrel load every day and try and pump out a family group of citizens who come from all over the country, and they tell me that they don't know things that are fact, that we're the engines of
I wonder though, I wonder, John, if it isn't the question.
We ladle out here by the barrel load every day and try and pump
out a ladle load. You can't write the process. It may be that the press may
pump through the engines of
I wonder though, I wonder, John. It may be habit that the people don't read it. I just don't know that people, although basically let me tell you what, though, that isn't the lead. That's the point. That the press may have it that the people don't read it. I just don't know that people, that isn't the lead. The fact that we are continuing Head Start in another way, the fact that we are continuing job training and doing a hell of a lot more of it than do by training people, although basically let me tell you what, though, that isn't the lead. That's the point. That is the fact that we are continuing Head Start, the fact that we have more, for example, that we have increased in another way, the fact that we are continuing job training and doing a hell of a lot. Take civil rights where Hesper has been kicking around. He's supposed to be a burden in the center of the month in Oregon to do much better. The fact that we have more, for example, that we have increased. Take civil rights where Hesper has been kicking around. He's supposed to be a burden that I like him. But Hesper says we're not doing enough civil rights. You know how much more? 350% more is going into civil rights with schools that are in the center of the Bombay that I like you. But Hesper says we're not doing enough civil rights. What else has done before? And you know how it just happened in the South? They talk about getting the poor South around. And you as a Southerner, we all must question for Southerners. You know how much more? 350% more is going into civil rights with schools and everything else that's done before. And you know how it just happened in the South? They talk about not in the South today. We find that getting the poor South around you as a Southerner, we all must question for Southerners. Over 50% of the kids, black youngsters, go to my God in the South today. We find that over 50% of the kids, black youngsters, are now going to. What are basically majority white schools, which is far more than the number. And this is a historic revolution accomplished without bloodshed and so forth.
Well, he's finding the book over that. Now, here's an interesting example. Talking about him showing that he cares and so on. First, he went to New Orleans, went all over the South, sitting down,
flying
groups, talking them into complying with the law, showing compassion for the wrenching in the community that the immigration.
And George Shultz does a fantastic job. George went to all the towns I didn't go to, but I did the whole South in Atlanta. And also, John, even more significant, They like what we've done. But what the blacks and the professional white liberals, civil rights liberals in the North, was not to have it settled peacefully. They wanted the President of the United States to go out and downtime it and kick these racist redneck suckers around, and that I refused to do, because if I had, they would never have integrated those schools. Never, never, never. All right, what did we do? I got in everything. I had over a period of time, I had 10 meetings in this office every Southern state. The Arkansas Committee came in, and the Georgia Committee came in, the rest. No Southern strategy. Blacks and whites haven't met. These are people that have never before. But he, they walk on each side of the street, so I got it. And then for a half hour, I preached to him. I said, you've got to do this. I tell the whites, I know that you don't like this law, but you are law-abiding. You believe in this and that. And I ask you to comply. If you don't, we're going to have to do something. And they went back and they did. It was a magnificent success. And we haven't had one goddamn word of any of them on the other hand. If I had gone around and kicked them around, and as a result of that, we'd have a Little Rock incident, or we'd have a lot of bloodshed in Mississippi for us. I would have been the great hero of the black folks, but the little black kids were suffering.
Yeah.
You see, what our school really want, what the press really wants, they want me to go out and kick the people around that they think are racist rednecks and so forth. Look, I don't like the goddamn racist rednecks, but the point is, what do we want to do? We have got to bring them around to accept this law, even though they hate it.
Mr. President,
that's the point. And the professional blacks, if you're a teacher, that didn't work. I mean, I've had them here in years back. They said, "What's one you want from Jordan?" And they, who's one of the better ones from that? Was, well, he said, you know, really, we know all this is happening, but what we want you to do, we want you to get out and take a stand. Take a stand. Because the right one takes stand about. They don't really know. You see what I mean? What the blacks need is a champion. And I'm willing to be their champion. But I will not be their champion if it is at the expense of the education of blacks and whites in thousands of schools all over the country. That I'm aware. Understand, I don't think integration is complete. I don't think the schools are good enough. I don't think the races probably will be together until there's right in American family, and that is the answer. We don't know that. But that'll take several thousand years, or several hundred at least. But be that as it may, the point that I make is, I believe that on the race issue, I would feel much better about it. If rather than leaving this country, as Kennedy would, I don't say this radically because he died before he had a chance, but he made his speech in civil rights, he waited until July, his last year, and he made his big speech on civil rights. But nothing happened. When we came into office, segregation, desegregation in the South was silk, absolutely nothing. And we desegregated the schools. Any credit for the black, from the white professional liberals, none. Interesting thing. We got no black votes in the District of Columbia to speak out, I understand that. And you couldn't read the press and so forth either. But interesting enough, our black percentage in the South was about 30% on black votes. In the North, it was 5%. That must tell us something.
That's very interesting. I am totally unable to explain. You said that you got no coverage whatsoever on this trip that you're speaking of. And I can't.
Oh, because you understand.
Well, still.
You see, it was not as long ago as the other kind of thing. As a matter of fact, well, I had no coverage on these meetings there in these offices, too. There was no conflict because we settled. And the heads were knocked together and so forth. The people that were there came out raving about it, according to Shelley's
mother. And the aftermath. I mean, we sent Ted Morgan and the guys from the White House down quietly into the South.
Every time I had a problem.
Sit down with the attorneys for the school district. Sit down with the NAACP folks. Quiet meetings, off camera. You contrast that with the conduct in previous administrations, the great confrontations, and Nicholas Katzenbach at the school door and all that crap, right? They didn't move the ball 10 feet.
We moved the ball.
Right, now.
But let me say this. I want to say one thing, though, that bears, John, bears to his point, because I'm quite aware. Let me say, the foreign policy field Now, there, where we've done our well, the only do it for me, because if ever there was a disastrous foreign policy before we got here, is what we inherited. What happened to Kennedy and Johnson administration should never have happened to a great country. We came in on the 50s with one advantage over the Soviet, came in with us behind. And we came in with a war that had been going on 3 years, 7 years now, and a hell of a lot of other things. And so we broke it through with the Chinese, we broke it through with the Russians. We've got a hell of a problem still in the Middle East, and we've got problems in Europe, we've got problems in Japan, but the whole world has changed as a result of this exact influence. And I had a green in here this morning. It was all very soft glove, but it prepares the way for a very successful summit later. Now, what I'm saying here, though, in this field, I think we've got to be quite candid. What your reporters want, what the professional white liberals want. Listen, they're not like me. Ask anybody, for example, ask anybody who works with me, ask that White House staff, all the blacks over there, which president has been most considerate of? None. And it's not because I treat them like Uncle Tom, but because I treat them as equals, because I grew up that way. Ask anybody I went to school with, the black football players, what they think. And they'll find that in a personal relationship, my personal relationship, Kennedy treated them like dogs. Because he treated everybody who was lower than he basically held in this. I don't say that critically. Anybody can tell you that. And Johnson basically did a hell of a lot for them. But he couldn't possibly, with this other background, treat a black person anything other than an inferior. Now, Sammy Davis comes. He spends the night in the White House. The fact that he was the first black ever to spend the night in the White House, black American, he was saying to him, of course not. And he appreciated that. He comes out of the Lincoln Room and says, you know, I was crying with tears when I had to think that I was slept in Lincoln's bed. So what should we have done? Go out like T.R. did and said, Booker T. White, you need in the White House. He didn't have to say it was all credit. But the point is, I'll tell you what the professional white liberals want. They don't want solutions to the problem. What they want, and a professional black student, what they want is for the president to go out and say, look, these whites are terrible, and the black folks say this and that and the other thing, which would exacerbate these problems between the races. Now, what we have to do is to find a way to make the black people, the little kids in particular, feel that we are for them. That we haven't done. We've got to feel that we are for them, but we can't do it unless the press reports how some other people
feel. Mr. President, can I just say one last thing?
And I must.
I know, but I'm sure you have a little work to do. But I can't speak for all the press, and you may disagree with what I say on this, but basically the kind of thing that you are talking about and that the president is talking about, where the press fails to handle, to report things that are important, believe it or not, is not basically the result of some conspiracy to say, well, now this would make Mr. Nixon look good. You've got to find the ways of creating some kind of drama, some kind of thing. Right. News out of that thing. Now, Fred, the president says that he is not going to engage in gimmickry, and I think that's fine. But, Mr. President, don't hang up on the word gimmick as being there's nothing wrong. There's certainly nothing wrong in the position, in the business you're in, the position you're in, with dramatizing the point that you want to make. With making it,
yep.
It's what Christ did when he told the disciples. You've got to not only do it,
you know, what are basically the majority white schools, which is far more than the norm. And this is an historic revolution accomplished without bloodshed and so forth.
Well, he's talking about the book that. Now, here's an interesting example. I'm showing that he cares. First, he went to New Orleans, went all over the South, sitting down, black groups, talking them into complying with the law, showing compassion for the wrenching in the community, the integration.
And George Shultz does a fantastic job. George went to all the towns I didn't go to. I did the whole South. These are people that were never before. What do you, they walk on either side of the street, so I got it. And then for a half hour, I preached to them. I said, you've got to do this. I tell the whites, I know that you don't like this law, but you are law-abiding. You believe in this and that. And I ask you to comply. If you don't, we're going to have to do something. And they went back and they did. It was a magnificent success. And we haven't had one goddamn word of any of them on the other hand. If I had gone around and kicked them around, and as a result of that, we'd had a Little Rock incident, or we'd had a lot of bloodshed in Mississippi for us. I would have been the great hero of the black folks, but the little black kids were suffering.
Yeah.
You see, what our people really want, what the press really wants, they want me to go out and kick the people around that they think are racist, rednecks, and so forth. Look, I don't like the goddamn racist rednecks, but the point is, what are we going to do? We have got to bring them around to accept this law, even though they hate it.
Mr. President,
that's the point. And the professional black security has done that at work. I mean, I've had them in here and there's kind of, they said, what do you want from Jordan today? Who's one of the better ones from the hills? Well, he said, you know, really, we know all this is happening, but what we want you to do, we want you to get out and take a stand. Expand. Mr. Redlock, they expand the bow. They don't really know. You see what I mean? Well, what the blacks need is a champion. And I want to be their champion. But I will not be their champion if it is at the expense of the education of blacks and whites in thousands of schools all over the country. Let alone white. Understand, I don't think integration is complete. I don't think the schools are good enough. I don't think the races probably will be together until there's frankly a marriage, frankly. And that is the answer. We don't know that. But that'll take several thousand years, or several hundred at least. But be that as it may, the point that I make is, I believe that on the race issue, I would feel much better about it. If rather than leaving this country, as Kennedy would, I don't say this radically because he died before he had a chance, but he made his last, he made his speech on civil rights, he waited until July. His last year, and he made his big speech on civil rights. But nothing happened. When we came into office, desegregation in the South was silly. Absolutely nothing. And we desegregated the schools. Any credit for the black, from the white professional was none. Interesting thing. We got no black votes in the District of Columbia to speak out of my extent. If you could, you're reading the press and so forth. But interesting enough, our black percentage in the South was about 30%. On black votes. In the North, it was 5%. That must tell us something.
That's very interesting. I am totally unable to explain. You said that you got no coverage whatsoever on this trip that you're speaking of. And I can't.
Oh, because you understand. Oh, because you're really going to bring up my head on the
top. Well, still.
You see, it was not a controversial kind of thing. As a matter of fact, well, I had no coverage on these meetings there in these offices, too. There was no conflict. Because we settled. And the heads were knocked together and so forth. The people that were there came out raving about it, according to Shelley's
mother. And the aftermath. I mean, we sent Ed Morgan and the guys from the White House down quietly into the South.
Everything had a problem.
Sit down with the attorneys for the school district. Sit down with the NAACP folks. Quiet meetings, off camera. You contrast that with the conduct in previous administrations, the great confrontations, and Nicholas Katzenbach at the school door and all that crap, right? They didn't move the ball 10 feet.
We moved the ball.
All right, now.
But let me say this. I want to say one thing, though, that bears to his point, because I'm quite aware. Let me say, in the foreign policy field, you know, there where we've done our well, you only do what is right. Because if ever there was a disastrous foreign policy before we got here, is what we inherited. What happened in the Kennedy and Johnson administration should never have happened to a great country. We came in on the 50s with one advantage over the Soviet, came in with us behind. And we came in with a war that had been going on 3 years, 7 years, and now, and a hell of a lot of other things. And so we've broken through with the Chinese. We've broken through with the Russians. And we've got a hell of a problem still in the Middle East. We've got problems in Europe. We've got problems in Japan. But the whole world has changed as a result of this exact kind of did a hell of a lot for them, but he couldn't possibly, with this other background, treat a black person anything other than an inferior. Now, Sammy Davis comes. He spends the night in the White House. The fact that he was the first black ever to spend the night in the White House, black American, he was saying him under a corset, and he appreciated that. He comes out of the Lincoln Room and said, he says, you know, I was crying with tears when I had to think that I was slept in Lincoln's bed. So what should we have done? Go out like T.R. did and said, Booker T. Washington ate in the White House. He didn't have to say it was all credit. But the point is, Hunter, you were a professional white liberal spy. They don't want solutions to the problem. What they want, and a professional black student, what they want is for the president to go out and say, look, these whites are terrible, and the black folks say this and that and the other thing, which would exacerbate these problems between the races. Now, what we have to do is to find a way to make the black people, the little kids in particular, feel that we are for them. That we haven't done. We've got to feel that we are for them. But we can't do it unless the press reports how some other people.
When I was president, I just said one last time, and I must.
I
know, but I'm sure you have a little work to do. But, I can't speak for all the press, and you may disagree with what I say on this, but basically the kind of thing that you are talking about and that the president is talking about, where the press fails to handle, to report things that are important, believe it or not, is not basically the result of some conspiracy to say, well, now this would make Mr. Nixon look good. You've got to find the ways of creating some kind of drama, some kind of thing. It's right. Stews out of that thing. Now, Fred, the president says that he is not going to engage in gimmickry, and I think that's fine. But, Mr. President, don't hang up on the word gimmick as being there's nothing wrong. There's certainly nothing wrong in the position, business you're in, the position you're in, with dramatizing the point that you want to make. With making it,
yep.
It's what Christ did when he told the disciples. You've got to not only do it, you've got to do it and say it in a way that the black kid that you're talking about, or some intellectual at Harvard that never thought you were doing a damn thing, you've got to do it and say it in a way the black kid that you're talking about, or some intellectual at Harvard that never thought you were doing a damn thing before, suddenly says, holy smoke, this guy is human and is it cares and is doing it. And you need that. You need people to say that.
I do, well.
Before, suddenly says, holy smoke, this guy is human and is it cares and is doing it. And you need that. You need people to say that.
I do, well. Well, I have to say we'll do our best, but I will say I have no human sense. All the symbolism in the world will not do much here because it will never break through. it isn't a question of 2 hours, but I think Ken Crawford wrote some pieces rather cute. He says you take a person with a crow, but you can't make him eat it.
Well,
that's an individual. It's terribly hard. And it isn't a question of 2 hours. That point, nobody wants anybody to change to say, look, we were mistaken. That's a lie. I think Ken Crawford wrote some pieces rather cute. He says you take a person with a crow, but you can't make him eat it.
Well,
that point, nobody wants anybody to change to say, look, we were mistaken. That's a lie. Somebody collected what people have said to you in this horrible non-humanity. What is it, war or anything else? Somebody expressed with the president's concern because he hasn't got credit for it. I don't give a goddamn about credit. I know what's been done. I know what the history was. I never worried in general. That's what I worry about his place in history. By worrying about it, his place isn't going to be that good. What is it, war or anything else? Somebody expressed with the president's concern because he hasn't got credit for it. I don't give a goddamn about credit. Although we helped him enormously by ending this war in a way that was not dishonorable. But the most important thing that I want out of this long, I know what's been done. I know what the history was. I never worried in John's point, worry about his place in history. By worrying about it, his place isn't going to be that good. Although we helped him enormously by ending this war in a way that was not dishonorable. But the most important thing that I want out of this long suffering and so forth, is simply an even break that 45,000 Americans who died and 2.5 million who served, whoever was involved for getting it started, whatever the mistakes were made in Kentucky, did serve in a selfless cause, and that 45,000 Americans who died and 2.5 million who served, that rather than giving up and not accomplishing some goal, we accomplished something.
I
want credit for America. Whoever was involved for getting it started, whatever the mistakes were made in Kentucky, did serve in a selfless cause. And that rather than giving up and not accomplishing some goal, we accomplished something.
I want credit for America.
I cannot have this country for America. I cannot have this country if we don't have credit. If we don't have credit for America on this score, America will cop out of the world. And if we cop out, I know who's left. The British are finished. The Europeans generally are finished, except for America, the economic power. The Japanese are finished because we can't let them very good nuclear arms again. The Germans, on this score, America will cop out of the world. France are the only ones in Europe that could play a decisive role or none. And if we cop out, I know who's left. The British are finished. The Europeans, they can't require nuclear arms. And so we can cop out, and we can concentrate it all on the ghettos. And it'd be my life much easier for me, but you know what will happen. It leads to generally are finished, except as economic power. The Japanese are finished because we can't let them ever get nuclear arms again. The Germans are the only ones in Europe that could play a decisive role or none, because they can't require nuclear arms. And so we can cop out, and we can concentrate it all on the ghettos. And it'd be my life much easier for me, but you know what will happen.
That
one that would dominate today, and 20 years from now, the Chinese. And it would be a very unpleasant world. So here we have to go to know what will happen. It leads to a moral state.
That
one that would dominate today. And that's what I want the United States, the people of this country, not to feel ashamed, not to feel that they failed, but to say, by golly, we stuck it through. And 20 years from now, the Chinese. And it would be a very unpleasant world. So here we have to go. And that's what I want the United States. It was wrong. Probably shouldn't have done it. The people of this country, but we stuck it through. 17 million people have got a chance. We can't guarantee it. That's all we wanted to say. And they should say, not to feel ashamed, not to feel that they failed, but to say, by golly, we stuck it through. And it was wrong. Probably shouldn't have done it, but we stuck it through. 17 million people have got a chance. We can't guarantee it. That's all we want them to say. And they should write it. In fact, rather than just Joel, some two or three of them should write it.
Sir, I
you see,
this is
not for me. It's for the country.
Exactly. And may I say,
and they should say that. And they should write it. In fact, rather
on the domestic point, I'm sure you understand. Only too well.
I'm not saying just Joel, some two or three of them should write it.
Sir, I
you see,
this is
not for me. It's for the country.
Exactly. And may I say, dramatize or use the symbolism and so on in order to improve Richard Nixon's image, which is a domestic point. I'm sure you understand only too well. I'm not saying that you dramatize or use the symbolism and so on in order to improve Richard Nixon's image, which is, I mean, I think that's it. That is important. I think that's it. That is from the point of view of fairness, but I think it
doesn't matter.
It is secondary. But what I'm saying is you should do it because it would produce a better mood, tone, atmosphere. This, from the point of view of fairness, but I think it
doesn't matter. I think you want a little as I
do. It is secondary. But what I'm saying is you should do it.
You want the little black kids to grow up.
Do it because it would produce a
you're awesome. I will be president.